Well, from my wife and I and our family, Merry Christmas to all of you. Good to have you. Good to have you with us tonight, and just thankful to be able to celebrate the birth of the Savior. Christmas for many, for some, for sure, is a wonderful time of the year. But for others, some or many, Christmas is not so wonderful. There's financial problems, there's broken relationships, or even the loss of a loved one over this last year. Just this afternoon, I was down at the hospital doing a hospital visit on a gentleman and his wife who would rather be here tonight. And just walking in the hospital and walking down the corridor and seeing those people, a number who are hurting and lonely and anything but desiring to be in the hospital over Christmas. And I realized that for many, this could be the most challenging time of the year. And Scripture, and we're called to be a light to the world, Scripture is very clear that at the birth of Christ, that there was a good news of great joy for all people. And so I don't know where you find yourself tonight, but what we're trying to do is create a moment in time, an oasis of time, a safe place where you can be encouraged, where you can feel like, well, I went to some place where I know that somebody loves me and cares about me, and that would not just be the people of Lakeside, but the Savior that we serve. So I'd like us to think, and we'll end our time Silent Night, Holy Night, my favorite thing, to be able to light the candles, and I'll give you instructions about not burning down the place when we do that. But I want to spend a couple of moments talking and thinking about the Son, the eternal Son of God, became Savior. Names in Scripture have great significance. Moses means to draw out. Eve means the giver of life. Samuel means God heard. Isaac means laughter. David means beloved. John means the grace of God. Peter means little rock. But there's no name more important in all of Scripture than the name that God the Father gave his Son, and that's the name Jesus. That's the name Jesus. So Mary and Joseph, hopefully you know from the story, did not name their son. God named him, and he picked a name with eternal significance, Jesus. And the angel Gabriel showed up to Mary and said in Luke 1 and verse 31, right before what Pastor Tony read, "And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. He will be great, and he will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give to him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever." So when the angel Gabriel goes to Mary, said, you're gonna call him Jesus. And then in Matthew 1, the angel shows up to Joseph so that there wouldn't be any miscommunication and says, "And you will call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins." And a couple verses later, it said that's exactly what Mary and Joseph did. They named him Jesus, a name with eternal significance. It literally means the God who saves. It's why the angel Gabriel in our passage that we read for the kids, and it's in your bulletin, to you this day is going to be born a Savior. He will save his people from their sins. Now, in the Old Testament, God was frequently called Savior or the God of salvation. Let me just give you a couple. Maybe just mentioning the stories will bring up the story to you. Joseph, when he was rescued from his brothers who tried to snuff out his life, once he found out that he was free and God actually had a plan for him, he praised God, his salvation. When David won the victory over Goliath and Goliath fell and everybody was giving kudos to David for doing this mighty act, David said, no, God, my God is the God of salvation. When Israel was cornered at the Red Sea and the Egyptians were coming and it looks like it was going to wipe them out and God parted the waters, they went across on dry ground and then the waters caved in on the enemies. Israel cried out, the God of salvation, he's the one that saved us. So in the Old Testament, you have this concept of God being the savior from physical things, from enemies, from illnesses, all of these things. But in the New Testament, the term savior is always applied to God, no other human person, God or Jesus. And it always has reference 24 times to being the savior from our sins and the consequences of our sins. Now, certainly he's the healer. I met with this couple. I held the guy's hand and I prayed that God would heal him. And I believe that God can heal him. He's not going to heal him because I tell him to, but God can heal. God can do the miraculous. But in the New Testament, God is savior from sinners' sins. And the scripture is very clear that humans have made choices, all of us, and we've sinned and we've separated ourselves from a holy God and we need somebody then to rescue us from our sins. Romans 3:23, all, including Pastor Dave, have sinned and we fall short of the glory of God. A couple of chapters later, Paul wrote in Romans 6 that the wages of sin is death or separation from God. But God gave us his son and he gave us the gift of eternal life and we can be with him forever. You know, in Jesus's ministry, towards the end of his ministry, maybe he was 30 some years old and he had been healing and he had been doing unbelievable things for a couple years on the earth. They were trying to figure out, was he this earthly king? And Jesus said in Luke 19 and verse 10, for the Son of Man, talking about himself, came to seek and to save that which is lost. So when we talk about Savior, and we sing about Savior, and we hear the Christmas story read to us, and we think about it, we meditate, we take a couple of moments in this space that we have here tonight, he's Savior from specifically sin. Paul wrote this, 1 Timothy 1 and verse 15, and I could say this, I wouldn't write it as well as he wrote it. This saying is trustworthy and deserving of full acceptance that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, forgive them, take their sins away, not make them crawl for a mile, not jump through a bunch of religious hoops, but to take their sin away. Yeah, Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners, Paul said, of whom I'm the foremost, said I was the sinner of all sinners. And so the Christmas story is about the birth of the Savior. So let me just read a couple of verses from the story that Pastor Tony read. And let me make a couple of comments about Christ, the one who was sent to be the Savior. I'm going to start in Luke chapter 2 and verse 8. And in the same region, there were shepherds out in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And the angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with great fear. And the angel said to them, fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David, that's Bethlehem, a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling clothes and he's going to be lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel who is sharing these things, a multitude, thousands upon thousands of heavenly hosts praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest and on earth peace among those with whom he's pleased. So he said, I have good news. Like this is really good news. I'm sending a Savior. The son, this newborn is going to grow to be sinless. He's going to be the Savior. He's going to take your sin away. He's going to allow you to make it into heaven with me. It's good news. Well, I remembered a story this week that I had read maybe a month or so ago, and it was about a pastor who went to visit somebody in their church, and I got to thinking, you know, as a pastor, one of my privileges, most of the time it's a privilege, is I get to go visit people at their home. Maybe something's going on in their life. Maybe it's a word of counsel. Maybe it's an encouragement. Every once in a while, it's to go share a tough word, and I don't think it's anybody here that I've met that I've had to go knock on your door, but I've had some memorable experiences going knocking on people's doors. One time I went to knock on a door and they certainly didn't want to talk to me. And it wasn't the highlight of my day to be going over there, I'll tell you that. And so I knock on the door, the big bay window right there, the shade went down on the bay window right beside the door. So I go around the side of the house, the shade goes down on the kitchen window. I go to the back of the house, go walk up the deck, and there's a door there, and the chain that locks the door was going across. I could see the person on the other side. They could see me, and I said, "Hey, I just need to talk to you. I'm not talking to you, Pastor." "Okay, it'll be all right." And it ended up not being that great of a conversation. But sometimes it goes that way. But here's this story that I felt depicts the good news. So Charles Spurgeon was telling about a pastor friend who called on a woman in the congregation who was very poor. The pastor had funds from the deacon fund in the church to give to her. He was going to knock on her door to give her the money. He knocked on her door with the money in hand. No one answered. And after continually knocking, he just went back to the church. The following week, the pastor saw this woman at church and told her that he had a gift that he wanted to give her, this gift of money. He said, "I stopped by and nobody answered the door." And then there was an awkward moment of silence. And the lady said, "Pastor, I was at home and I heard the knock, but I didn't answer because I thought you were the man coming to collect the rent and I had no money. I thought you were coming to collect the rent and I didn't have any money. I had no way to pay." And at least from my experience as pastor, I think a lot of people think of God as the person coming to collect the rent. He's knocking. He's making a demand on something that I can't give him. I'm not that highly religious person. I haven't lived the sinless life. What's he going to demand of me? Certainly I'm going to fall short. I've been told that I'm falling short all my life. He's going to make a demand on me that I can't meet. And the angel Gabriel is going to say no to the shepherds. There's a Savior. This is good news. It's filled with great joy. He's not going to come and demand the rent. He's already paid the rent. That's how you have to think of this Savior. Most people know John 3:16. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believe in him will not perish but have everlasting life." But they stop right there and they miss just an unbelievable verse, verse 17 of John chapter 3. And this is what it says. "For God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world." He's not knocking on the door of your heart to collect the rent. He's not trying to exact a price or lay down a punishment because you haven't been everything that you should be. He didn't come to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him, he came to create a way for you to have your sins forgiven and to be right with God. His birth is good news of great joy. It's exactly what everyone in this room needs. If scripture is true, all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, then every one of us in this room needs a Savior. And that is this Christmas season, good news of great joy. The virgin birth produced a sinless Savior who paid the debt in full. Now, many of you know this, but when he was hanging on the cross, he cried out, "Tetelestai." And when you read it in our English translations, it literally means the debt was paid in full. Literally cried out, "Paid in full." And he wants you to know tonight, whether you're really young and you were up here, or you're really old, your grandpa, great-grandpa, great-grandma, whoever you are, everywhere in between, that his son, who was born in the manger, we just heard the story, that he came and lived a sinless life and he died on the cross and he paid the debt. He paid your rent and he just wants you to take it. He just wants you to receive it. That's how he's knocking tonight. Now I find myself with the number of grandkids I got and just being a pastor, somebody will say, hey, thanks for doing that. And I find myself using this little phrase, maybe you've used it or maybe you've had somebody use it. So somebody will say, hey, thanks for doing that. And I say, no, it's my joy. No, it's my joy. And I think the angel Gabriel is saying in our passage here, there is good news of great joy. Yes, it will be great joy for you. But the angel is saying, no, this is good news of great joy. It's the Father's great joy that he's sending his son. He didn't get strong-armed. He didn't have his arm twisted. He didn't have anybody force it. For God so loved the world. It's his joy. His birth is good news, great joy. And then think about this with me. It's good news of great joy for all people. He's saying that to the shepherds. They were the lowest in society, culturally, socially, religiously. You know, they tended the sheep that were going to be used for the sacrifice at the temple, but they were never allowed in the temple themselves. They were just considered unclean people. And the angel Gabriel said, I have good news of great joy for all people. I'm sure the shepherd said, including us. Yes, including you. They were at the bottom of the pile. And remember, he came to seek and to save the lost for you. There's no one here tonight. There's no one, young or old, that's outside of the good news of great joy for you tonight. So the angels announce the Savior. The shepherds get to proclaim the Savior. They ended up being the lowest of society, became the first witnesses, and they go around telling everybody about this good news. And then just notice how the people responded to the good news of the Savior. It says this in verse 18. And there's a number of just beautiful words right here, if you just take the time to let it soak in. And all who heard it wondered at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured up all these things. She pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all that they had heard and seen as it had been told them. So here would be a way tonight to please God with your response to him sending his son to be born of the Virgin Mary, to go on and live a sinless life and die on the cross. Where it would start tonight for some of you is just to wonder about this. And it literally means just to privately think about. Like, okay, he's virgin born, he's sinless, God the Father sent him, he's the Son of God, he's Lord. What does this mean for me? This is what wondering, like, what does this mean for me? Like, I've gone to Christmas Eve services and Christmas services, but what does this mean for me? Maybe you could think something like this. Hey, I'm surrounded by people who talk about this good news of great joy for all people, and they say it's good news, it's filled with great joy, it's for me. Could that be true for me? And God's answer is yes. And then it says, Mary treasured up and pondered these. So you start by wondering about it, and then the way you progress through that, and this can be in a short amount of time or over days, this is how it grows. She treasured and she pondered. She stored it up. She added it all together. She personally and quietly had a conversation with herself. So, well, what does this mean for me? Personally and quietly asked, what does it mean? What is God saying to me? How does God want me to respond? Do I need a Savior? Could it be true that when God's word said all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, the all includes me? Is it possible that God said the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life? That he has a gift that I've never received? Is this child really Savior? Could he be a Savior from my sin? Did he really pay it all? Does he come to not condemn me? Has he paid the rent, so to speak, that's due for my life? Do I believe this? Have I ever personally responded to the Christmas story? And you'll notice the shepherds, they start out fearing God. They fall to the ground and they're scared of God. They can't believe. And they end up by standing up and they're glorifying and praising God. And that's where it leads. Are you at a place in your life where you can honestly praise and glorify Christ because he's saved you from your sins? The shepherds went away profoundly changed. Now, there's names given all throughout Scripture, but there's no names given for the shepherds. We don't know who they are. I think God did that intentionally. He wants you to put your name in there. Good news of great joy for all people. This is how you could celebrate. It says in verse 10, and the angel said to them, fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord. Now, unlike the shepherds and unlike the wise men, you do not need to take a journey to find Jesus tonight. The birth of the Son of Christ tells us he took the journey to find us. Amen? All you must do is receive him. Personally, privately, see him as Savior. It's good news. It's too good to be true, but it's true nonetheless. Martin Luther said, one thing to say Jesus is Savior, quite another to say he's my Savior. Can you say that this Christmas? Now, in just a moment, I'm gonna have us pull out these red cards, and there's a practical purpose for them other than just getting your name and getting on a mailing list or something like that. But we're gonna give a couple of moments just to kind of, you know, create a little margin in our life. It's a busy world out there. Think about what does this mean for you personally. And then I'll come up and give a few instructions on singing Silent Night, Holy Night. And if you're here tonight, you don't know for sure that Christ is Savior of your life. You've never received him. You've known about him, but you've never personally invited him in. Then here's what I would like you to do mentally and even physically. During the quiet time of the red card, or even while we're lighting the candles and we're singing Silent Night, Holy Night, I can't think of a better time for someone to literally extend out their arms, open up their hands, open your heart, and invite Jesus to save you from your sins. That is the Christmas story. I can tell you from personal experience that God will radically change your life. Scripture says all that call upon the name of the Lord will be the word that Scripture uses, the word saved. It literally means to be rescued or delivered. It's where we get the word Savior from. Saved. He'll take your sins away and he'll radically transform your life. He will do that. He will do that for you. Let me have a word of prayer and I'll give a little instruction on the red card. Father, thanks. What an awesome story. Lord, we could tell this for 1,000 years, and for me, it would never get old. And until you come back, we're going to tell the story. Lord, when I, even as a pastor, down the road a little ways in my life, and I think about your plan to come and rescue myself and everyone in this room, that in your plan from all eternity going backwards, you sent your son to be born in a virgin womb, to live a sinless life, to die on the cross, to be buried, to be resurrected and ascended back to you as our savior, our rescuer. Oh Lord, would you do that work here tonight in Christ's precious name? Amen.